Last week, we started a series entitled Making Your Election Sure. Making Your Election Sure. God's been so good when we pray for things. He's been so faithful in answering very specific prayers. Man, I had two incredible specific prayers answered yesterday. It was just so amazing. I cannot explain to you how important these two prayers have been for me. And the first one was, I'm just looking at this Port Huron restatement and what God is calling us to night and day prayer for 52 weeks to build up a wall. And I just thought, I don't know how I can do this. I have been talking with some of our pastors. Our church is so small and we have challenges and such. And I was so blessed to hear from two of my best friends, people who have been part of my ministry team many, many years, that called me yesterday and said that they feel that they need to get very much involved. And what's great is that they are leaders, and they have been leaders at the Dearborn House of Prayer. And I'm telling you, it just about brought me to tears. It did bring me to tears because that's such a weight off me, just to have somebody with experience in the House of Prayer to feel a calling to this house to be here on a regular basis as the Lord leads them. And then the other prayer, I probably haven't shared this with anybody, but I've been praying. I just feel so strongly. I used to go to the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, all the time. And it got very difficult for me to travel for a number of reasons, but I stopped traveling there. But my heart has always been for Belarus and Ukraine and Russia. And right now it's a hotbed and there's so many things happening. And I feel so much that there are people hungry. You know, we Americans, we're fat. We got everything. We got teaching everywhere, all over the place. Books, videos, mega churches, everything. But Russia doesn't have that. Belarus doesn't have that. Ukraine doesn't have that. They have a little bit more. There's been quite a move of God in Ukraine. But I just sense that pastors are hungry for material on how to grow their churches, how to hold a prayer meeting, how to, you know, just things that we take for granted over here. And so I wanted to take my many years of Bible college teaching as a professor at Central Bible College Extension and to interpret that in Russian. But I tried for a couple of years trying to find the right, you got to have the right kind of interpreter. And so I couldn't even find an interpreter, period, let alone a right one. And yesterday I just got a, just suddenly, boom, this thought came in my mind. And when that happens, it's not just the thought that comes in your mind. I had been praying. I said, God, I'm getting old. My birthday's coming up. I'm getting old. I'm closer to eternity. I got to accomplish this vision on my heart to get teaching out to the Russian people, the Russian pastors. And this idea pops in my head yesterday. I'm talking years I've been praying about this. And this idea, this person that I met many years ago, and I contacted her and we talked for an hour. It was amazing. And she is going to be my interpreter. And we're getting ready for some exciting plans to provide Bible college by video to the Russian pastors and leaders and the Russian people. So God answers prayer. I got on that rabbit trail, but Gene said, you've got to share that because you've got to understand. I mean, this has been such a deep thing in my heart. And to see the answer come is just, oh, I remember because I'm praying for staff now here. And so we're believing God to provide staff. And we need you, volunteers. You are very key. And when we're over this thing and you get over your COVIDs and you're out of your quarantines, we need people to rise up and step up. And in this meantime, we're going to do a lot of training. We're going to be very diligent because today I want to talk about giving all diligence. And we started this series in 2 Peter, and we looked at the first four verses of 2 Peter, And I think a lot of people just go through these introductions in the Bible, you know, in the epistles, just kind of zip through them, you know, their greetings, their grace and peace to you from God our Father, blah, blah, blah. And we kind of zip through that, but those are so theologically loaded. It's amazing how much is in there. And so last week we just took apart those first four verses of 2 Peter, and we saw how every word in that introduction is so significant, and that that introduction called us to have supervision. I talked about supervision. And another way to put supervision is faith, but the ability to see things that we don't see with our visible eye, but see them with our supernatural eye, that will lead us to have our all-powerful supernatural God give us superpower to see supernatural things come to pass in our lives. And that we ought to, all of us, be either Superman or Wonder Woman. And we got to have Zack Snyder do a movie about us. We got to be the real superheroes. Of course, I never told you this. I don't think that I was an extra in Superman versus Batman, Batman versus Superman. I probably never told you about that. But anyway, it's one thing to be an extra in a movie, but what if they made a movie about us? And my friend, John DJ Desjardins, the visual effects supervisor, that he would show us growing arms out and praying for people and arms growing out and eyes popping into sockets that weren't there and things like that. But that's what God wants us to be. If we have a supervision about a super God, super powerful God who will give us his superpower. Now, we saw that a prerequisite to walking in the supernatural is to have the supervision. In other words, faith. And the ability to see things that we don't see visibly yet. For example, you know, what can you envision? What can God give you supervision for? Like maybe owning your own house. It looks impossible now, but you have supervision. You can see into the future and you see yourself owning your own house or seeing your marriage come alive to a new level. Or seeing, how about this? How about seeing a great awakening in America? Can you see it? Certainly doesn't seem like it's happening now, but I see it. And that's what's moving me to pray and to dedicate myself to prayer. So anyway, he talked about how we have a like precious faith of the apostles. Well, let me just read the scripture here, 2 Peter 1, in the first four verses. We're not going to go through it all verse by verse again, but it has to set the foundation for the next verse that I want to look at. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have obtained, God has given to us a like precious faith. And so what he meant there is faith that's like Peter's. We've been given that same faith that Peter has or had and the apostles had. That same faith that saw people healed and even raised from the dead. That same faith that Jesus had. We've been given that like precious faith. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Go back to last week's message. I mean, we picked that apart. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And God brings us to that. I mean, we can participate in the divine nature. That's a pretty amazing promise. But let's read on now. And in verse 5, it says, but also for this very reason, you know, we've been given all these things, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be barren and unfruitful. I want to have a lot of fruit in my life. I want to see a lot of people come to know the Lord. I want to see the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I don't want to be barren and unfruitful. And if we add to our faith, this like precious faith, this supernatural supervision that brings us into the supernatural, if we add to that faith, we will certainly be fruitful and we will see amazing things in our lives. So if you have your Bible, take your Bible, lift it up, put it in your hand, your phone, whatever you use with your Bible, and say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And today my mind is alert and my spirit is awake. And I'm ready to receive the word of the Lord. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And Lord, just plain help Pastor Jill. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. All right. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 said, but for also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We are living in dangerous times. People are not giving all diligence to their faith. I'm so glad all of you are on. It just blesses my heart. So many of you are on because you're being diligent. And people today are not giving diligence to their faith. With this COVID, lots of us have been tempted and perhaps even have fallen into a lukewarmness and laziness when it comes to our pursuit of God. The number of public church activities has had to drop in these recent months and has had to be limited. Everything is going online, and that can really make people settle and get out of the activity of the Lord. And that's why I am fighting back. We may not have services in the building here this week and probably next week and maybe 1 or 2 weeks after that. And we haven't had Sunday school in forever. We haven't had prayer meetings like we used to. And when we tried to do it online, too many people found it too difficult to get on Zoom or whatever, to get on Facebook. But I have to fight back. We all have to fight back against that spirit of lukewarmness that so controls so much of the church world. Actually, it's been here for a long time, but this has just exacerbated it. And the Bible tells me to give all diligence. And even I had kind of fallen into, okay, this is going to pass, so let's just take a little break for a while. But as you see, it's going on and on and on. And one of my best friends shared with me, we were talking on the phone for a long time, and he says, you know, we better get used to this because this stuff may go on and on and on and on. But it's not this disease, it's another variant or another thing or this or that. And we got to be ready and we got to be diligent right now in the circumstances we're in, which will prepare us for the next things that will come, etc. So we got to be diligent at all times. And I've kind of awakened out of that, we can wait, sit back for a little while. Now, what is diligence? It says giving all diligence. What is diligence? Well, it's eagerness, earnestness, business. You know, you're about your business. Earnest care, fullness of care, forwardness, haste, diligence, action. It's an intensity, an action. It's not laying back or getting lazy. Diligence. You're at work. You're moving forward. You're earnest. You're intense about the things that God has put in your life or has called you to, etc. A very similar word is discipline. That's probably a word we all understand, discipline. And Discipline is the word from which we get disciple. Disciple. What's a disciple? A disciple, us, we are to be disciplined and diligent in the things of God. We're to practice the spiritual disciplines, prayer, the word, going to church, giving, all those different things. Those are disciplines that we need to be involved, fellowship, etc. When I was in high school, I was determined. I don't know why or what motivated me, but I was determined to be a track star. I think I watched the Olympics one year and I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a great runner. And our school, and probably another motivation, was our school was the top track school in our state. And it was just known throughout the state as the greatest track and field program. And so I wanted to be at the top. I was determined to be at the top. Now, when you're tall and lanky like me, I mean, not now. I wish I was lankier, but anyway, I'm still tall, but shrinking every year. But anyway, when I was in high school, I was tall, lanky. And when you're that kind of a person, the immediate thought is slow. People like me were thrown into the long distance events. You know, we're no way to sprint because we'll put you in the mile. And I'm like, no way. There is no way that I'm going to be a long distance runner. I want to die at age 14. So it's one thing to run around the track once. You're telling me to run around twice as fast as I can? You're telling me to run around that track four times? No way. And so anyway, our coach decided, well, he said, why don't you do somebody your size, height, etc. The next thing is they're not going to put me in the 100-yard dash. So that's gone. But there are the hurdles. And so he said, why don't you run the hurdles? The 120 high hurdles and the 330 low hurdles. 120 yards. Well, it's only 20 more yards than the 100 yard. I could do that. And the 330 yard hurdles, that's not even all the way around the track. That's just 3/4 of the way around the track. Okay, I'm in, man. And so I became a hurdler. And that was all the extent of laziness I was allowed. Because the reason our school was at the top was because we had great coaches. And our coaches taught us there are no shortcuts to becoming champions. If you want to be a champion, you're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to be diligent about your physical conditioning. You're going to have to be diligent about your mental conditioning. You're going to have to be diligent about your diet and all these aspects. We have to be very disciplined. You have to be diligent about your schoolwork because you're going to be practicing, running all the time. And so we had to become diligent. Laziness was no option in that time. And so, you know, track and field was in the spring. So in the fall, you know, after school, everybody would go run to fast food or whatever, hang out, play, goof around. Me, I went to run. And so I ran. I ran around that track every day. I ran along Lake St. Clair, where we live nearby. And I just ran and sometimes had some of my fellow track runners run with me. And so every day in the fall, and then when winter came and it got too cold to run outside, then I would get up an hour and a half earlier than I would normally so I could get to the gym at the school, which was open for athletes. And there I would do wind sprints in the gym. I would do my weightlifting. We had hurdles in there. I'd work on my hurdling technique every day, every morning. Those cold early mornings, but I didn't really have any options if I wanted to stay on the team and excel because it was such a great program. And then in the summer, spring we had track season, then in the summer, my coach even gave me a hurdle to take home to put in my backyard and work on my technique going over the hurdle. So diligence, we had to be diligent, we had to be disciplined. Anyway, during fall one year, it was my sophomore year actually, one of the things our coaches, and this is very important, I want to draw a parallel here. One of the things that our coaches told us to do in the fall was something called ins and outs. I hated ins and outs. They were killer. And what it was you'd run, you'd have to run like 2 miles. And for a half mile, you got to sprint 50 yards, jog 100 yards, sprint 50 yards, jog 100 yards for half mile. Then you just run, and then you do it again for the half mile after that, etc. And they were tough. I mean, it's just tough to start up and stop and start and sprint. You just want to run, jog, nice, that'd be nice. But no, this was hard work. But man, it would really condition us and get us in a state where we could really excel. Well, one day, my sophomore year, I'm doing ins and outs along Lake St. Clair there. And all of a sudden, it was the strangest thing. Suddenly, it was like my body discovered a new gear. You know, when I jog and then go into the sprint and then slow down, jog, I'd go into the sprint, but it was like a whole new gear went in. It was just like, you know, you jog and then you'd run a little faster and jog, run a little. No, like something kicked in to a whole new gear. And it was amazing. It was like I discovered how to sprint. The next time they timed me in the 120 high hurdles, I mean, the coaches were shocked. My teammates were shocked. They're looking at this tall, lanky guy who was fast. They're looking at their stopwatches. What was that? And it just so happened that my hurdler coach was the biology teacher at our school. And he taught something. He said, Joe, what's happened to you is you've discovered your red muscle fiber. He said, there's two kinds of muscle fiber. There's the white muscle fiber. There's the red muscle fiber. The white muscle fiber is the slow muscles, slow actions. The red muscle fiber are the fast things that are put in action. And you can't be fast all the time because you'd wear out your whole system. So you're mostly using your white muscle fiber, but you know, fight and flight and those kind of situations, the fast muscle, the red muscle kicks in. And that's what happened to you, Joe. And I felt it. I mean, it was in one moment, in one instance, everything changed. And I ended up on the top track team in the state. I ended up getting a varsity letter my sophomore year, which on that team was pretty much impossible. I remember how great I felt, man. All the basketball players and the football players that I used to fight with and I hated, and we'd get into fights and stuff. And no, I didn't. I never fought. I did. But anyway, those guys, they're all getting their junior varsity, you know, at awards night. You know, they were sitting in the junior varsity section. And they called me up to get my varsity letter. Joe Sazik, come on up. You've earned your varsity letter. So that felt good. But all that to say, there's an illustration in this, in that I believe that as we are diligent and disciplined, and I ended up breaking our school record in low hurdles. I ended up winning our conference championship in high hurdles. And diligence leads to success. Diligence leads to prosperity and blessing and seeing things that you have supervision for become a reality. And we need to add to our faith, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I believe that when you add to your faith, when you are diligent in the things of God and you're pursuing Him diligently, you're being disciplined about reading your Bible and praying and going to church and giving and fellowship and all the things that we know we need to do, and you're disciplined about it. You just do it. All of a sudden, you're going to hit that red muscle fiber. You're going to discover your spiritual red muscle fiber. And it's just going to, like, all of a sudden, stuff's going to kick in. All of a sudden, you're reading your Bible, whereas you really struggled and you couldn't understand and it was boring. And this, all of a sudden, you hit your spiritual red muscle fiber as you're reading the Bible and you're getting revelation and the prophetic is coming out. And you used to pray and just like, oh, God, I don't know. I don't know, God. What do you want? No, you don't want me to be blessed. You're probably mad at me. You know, you go from that to all of a sudden, because you've been praying and you're being disciplined and diligent, all of a sudden you get to a place where you're believing God for amazing things and you're trusting God for the miraculous. I thought of this morning, this plague. I'm getting supervision to be one person who can be so close to God, I can ask Him to remove this plague. What do you got supervision for? But I'll tell you what, it'll kick in when you when you're disciplined in those early time, you know, the more basic things. It just kicks, something else kicks in. Some might call it adrenaline, you know, but there's a spiritual adrenaline and everything, your senses are boosted and your ability to receive from God is boosted. Your faith just skyrockets, etc. But it requires that daily discipline. And I feel the Holy Spirit wants to say this to us, that if we give diligence in the things of God, something's going to happen. You're going to discover how to activate your red muscles, spiritual muscle fiber. You will find yourself suddenly accelerating in the things of God, things you didn't understand. Suddenly you understand things that were hard to do or to believe for, all of a sudden become a breeze. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Those who are diligent in the word and in the foundational things, because their senses have been exercised, they can discern. You know what's good, you know what's evil, you know what's right, you know what's the path to go. This is the path, this isn't the path to go. Your decision making will be at a whole new level, etc. Now let me try to wrap up here with just some Bible references to diligence. The word diligent, again, Peter said, giving all diligence, add to your faith. The word diligent or any related word is all over the Old Testament. And it's found a lot in Deuteronomy, and in particular, talking about the laws of God and how diligent we ought to be. It says here in Deuteronomy 4:9, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren." He's actually talking about the miracles of God here. I talked about this last week, or maybe it was, it's in our Nehemiah Bible study, that we can't forget the miracles of God in our past. We have to remember those and diligently remember the answers to prayer and teach them to our children. Parents, are you telling your children how God has answered your prayers? I can't wait to tell my kids how what God did for me yesterday. I mean, but you've got to be diligent about it. Deuteronomy 6:7 says about the law, God's laws, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Parents, get your children on to Bible study at 5:30 today. Make them. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." And when you lie down and when you rise up, I immediately thought of night and day prayer that God is calling us to starting in June. I believe that our evening and morning prayer, some of you are going to pray like more than you've ever prayed in your life. You're going to discover that red muscle fiber. And I believe that as we go along the way of this night and day prayer, and I'm not saying everybody's praying every night, every day, but I'm calling us to a great commitment to be there 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, to be in the house of prayer praying. Because what's going to happen in that night and day prayer, you're exercising yourself. It's like the ins and outs. And all of a sudden, you're going to find that spiritual red muscle fiber. And it's just going to launch you into new things. I'll tell you what, it's those nights of prayer I've been in, all night prayer, et cetera, times in the house of prayer when it was hard, it was struggling, laboring. But man, there were times where such revelation came, and I know it just boosted me to a new level. Deuteronomy 6:17, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you." Deuteronomy 28:1, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." Woohoo! And he'll set you high above if you are diligent to obey the voice of the Lord. And one of the ways I feel like I can hear the voice of the Lord just like that, so easy. I recognize him right away. Why? Because I've been diligent in pursuing him and pursuing his voice. And when it used to be really hard and I couldn't figure out what God wanted me to do, that suddenly changed at a certain point. And it's so easy for me. Then we see this word throughout the Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Be careful about what's in your heart. What's in your heart? Anger? Revenge? What's in your heart? Sin? Lust? It says here, keep your heart with all diligence. Work hard at keeping your heart pure and right and focused on God. Proverbs 8:17 says, where wisdom is speaking here, it says, "I love those who love me," wisdom speaking. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." I was seeking God, and I didn't get any wisdom. Were you diligently seeking him? Diligent. Those who diligently seek wisdom will find it. Proverbs 10, verse 4. "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." There's a benefit to diligence. Wealth. That's what happens when people are diligent. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." So you're going to have to labor no matter what. You're going to have to labor if you're not diligent. You'll be put under forced labor. But if you're diligent, you will rule. Proverbs 12:27 says, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession." Okay, you guys. You guys who go take your Pop-Tarts and you just eat them right out of the box, you need to roast your prey. Okay, it's a Pop-Tart. It's meant to go into a toaster and be cooked. But you're going right to the box and you're pulling out the Pop-Tarts and eating them. I don't know if that's what that scripture means, but the lazy man does not roast his prey. Anyway, Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Lazy men just dream. They just dream, but they don't do anything about it. And to dream, you got to be asleep. It's good to dream. It's necessary. That's part of supervision, is to dream. But then you got to do something about it. For me, a lot of times, it's just I start with prayer. It's just like this whole thing about the Russia thing. I just began to pray, and I had to do something. It was a dream, but I'm not just going to sit there and wait for it to fall in my lap. I had to pursue. I had to make contacts. I tried to contact some people, etc. And it was a long process that then, boom, it came just like that. And finally, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." So the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. And there's something here. Diligent people plan. Okay? Diligent people plan. They plan. They set out something to do something and then follow that plan. So, and that will lead to plenty. So if we don't want to be barren and unfruitful, we need to give all diligence to adding some things to our faith. And that's what we're going to look at in the next weeks, are these things that Peter tells us to add, to give all diligence to add to our faith. It's going to be rich. It's going to make you such a fruitful person in your walk. It's going to, you won't be barren anymore. I know there's one person shared with me and said, "I feel like I don't lead anybody to Christ, and I haven't had any, I feel like I haven't been a good witness," and da da da. Well, add to your faith, get that supervision, begin to add to that faith these things that we're going to talk about in detail. I got to just give you one thing here. As the first word says, add to your faith virtue. It says, add to your faith virtue. And an amazing thing, I dug into that word, for example. So what does that mean, virtue? Some of us, you know, "Oh, he's a virtuous person. He's a good person. He has virtues. He's moral, etc." And yes, it does mean that. But do you know that the root word for that is male, as in manly? says, add to your faith maleness. You know, today they call it toxic masculinity. It's toxic to be masculine. Well, you know, they're saying that because a lot of men have been jerks. But to be male is virtuous. And I believe that a lot of that has to do with that diligence. Men work. They work and they love to work. They love to do things with their hands and such. If you're a normal person, and if you're not handy, you love to study, you love to dig into things and whatever, but add to your faith virtue, add to your faith maleness. You know, I thought that was really interesting. But we're going to look into all these words like that and dig in and see what we need to add to our faith to make us more productive in our lives. And so, you know, actually, it's interesting. I'll close with this. I was out on my property yesterday and went there and spent the whole day there pretty much just preparing the message. And I was driving on the country road and I saw these two boys on their bikes out on a gravel road out in the country. And I thought it was so precious, you know, just to see these innocent boys on a Saturday, beautiful Saturday afternoon driving. And I often do flash prayers, you know, when I see somebody and kind of they jump out to me for one reason or another, I'll pray for them. I'll just say a quick prayer, Lord, bless that person, or Lord, reveal yourself to that person. Lord, if they're not saved already, send a laborer to them. And I drove by these two boys, just reminded me of my childhood and just out there. And I said, God, just bless these boys. And Lord, cause them to grow up to become men. Because there are a lot of men that are not diligent today and they're not being virtuous. They're not being male as God intended them to be. And that was my prayer for these boys. And by the way, there are things that you ladies that you need to have some of that male, those male qualities, just like we have to, guys have to have certain female qualities that we need to appreciate. But there are certain strengths that each of us have, and we need to add to our faith. You have the faith, but now we make an effort. You know, too much of Christianity is about taking away. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. So, no, the way it's supposed to work is you're supposed to add to your faith. You add things, you add Bible reading, you add prayer. And you know, when you're adding good, godly things, it pushes out the evil. It pushes out the stuff that destroys you and that messes you up when you add to your faith these certain virtues, plural, and qualities. So we're going to look at that in the coming weeks. So let me pray for you. And if you are watching today and you're a guest, we just so welcome you. We're so glad you're tuning in to our special service here at Port Crown Assembly of God. And we're praying that you're safe during this pandemic and that you be careful out there. You may not have a personal relationship with Jesus. And some of the things I was saying, it's like saying, yes, I want that. I want supervision and I want to be able to have that kind of faith that then I'll add to, but I feel so weak, or I feel so helpless, and I've tried to do good before, and it just hasn't worked. And the Holy Spirit will give you strength. There, God has given Himself as a gift. First, He's given us salvation, and that is the elimination of the guilt for our sins. Jesus died on a cross, according to the Scriptures, to take away our sins, to die for our sins. He paid for our sins. God wanted everybody to have a chance to pursue Him, for that wall of sin to be broken. So Jesus did that. But then Jesus did something else. He went to heaven and He sent the Holy Spirit down, which is God. God is a mystery. He's three persons, but He's one God. And so in a way, He sent Himself down. And the Holy Spirit can come into our lives and He empowers us to do these things I'm talking about, where it's not this laborious, oh, I got to add to my faith. But no, there's this excitement and there's this desire to add to your faith. And so that's available to you. And I'm going to give you opportunity to ask Jesus into your life. And if you've never done that before, this could be the greatest day of your life. April 18th, 2021. This could be a day you'll never forget. When you see, you shift into a sense that red muscle fiber. You've been dead spiritually. You've been slow about the things of God. But all of a sudden, bam, it's just moving and you're growing in your relationship with God. That happened to me when I was 19 years old and I asked Jesus into my heart. And man, it was like my eyes were opened and everything made sense. And I had to find a Bible and I like spent the whole night. I found a little New Testament in my brother-in-law's desk that he gave me. And I read through the whole thing and I was just so hungry for God. And it's been like that ever since. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me and then we're going to close today. So would you say this with me? If that's something you want to do, is invite Jesus into your life and step into a real relationship with God. It's not about rules, regulations, denominations, all that. It's about a relationship with Jesus and with your Heavenly Father. So pray this with me. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying for my sins. Forgive me of all my sins. And I invite you into my life. I believe you're alive. I believe that after you died, you were buried, and you rose again from the dead. So come into my life and be my Lord. Amen. If you did that, let us know on the comment line here. Hey, it's time to be bold for Jesus. Sin is bold out there. People are bold against God. It's time for us believers to get out of the closet. And if you've accepted Jesus in your life, you need to not shy or be embarrassed. You need to let us know, first of all, among us believers here, let us know and just say, hi, I'm so-and-so. I prayed with Pastor Joe. Or go to our website and let us know there. So God bless you. Thanks for joining us. And church, it's so good to see all of you here. Well, I can't reach that, but.